But what I'd like to do is in the next half hour or so, try my best to go through as many of the halachas that one has to know for the holiday season, not including Yom Kippur as possible, Slichos, starting Rosh Chodesh El, going all the way until Rosh Hashanah. So for starters, when they start saying Slichos, it's a well-known thing that Sephardim start from El, Ashkenazim start from the Sunday before Rosh Hashanah. This year was Rosh Hashanah. The post can point out, better to say few with Kavana, even to go very slowly and look at the English, than it is to run through all of them and not get anything out of it. If you do fall behind, either because the Chazan's flying or because you're going slowly with Kavan or any other reason you can think of, when the Tzibur gets to Kel Melech, Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim, skip to join them at Kel Melech. And if, let's say, you're going Kel Melech slowly, and the Chazan gets to the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun, skip to join them as well. When can one say Slichos? Ideally, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the best time is after Chatzos until Alos HaShachar. That is the Eis Ratzon, the Mishnah Berurah explains. If, let's say, you can't do it then, the second best time is before Shachris. Or, surprisingly, before Mincha. Many of our communities we come from do it early in the morning before Shachris. Better to do it before Mincha than after Shachris. The idea that Mordechai Elio explains is that it's a preparation for, it should be done before like a tefillah. At night, you can do it certainly after Chatzos. What about before Chatzos? The Mishnah Magen Avram writes that one can never say Slichos and Midos, you can Midos before Chatzos, and there's a sefer called the Mikrei Kodesh of Moshe Harari, who's a first-class Talmud Chacham. Gathers an incredible amount of poskim. He's a rav learning in Merkaz Harav, and he puts together incredible sfarim on the Chagim, Mikrei Kodesh it's called, and in it he's got a whole list of poskim who agree. Famously, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva disagrees and writes, since the Minhag doesn't go back there to the Talmud, the times of the Gemara, it's a post, historically speaking, it's not a minhag from the Gemara. Minhagim from the Gemara you have to be very, very careful with, but Minhagim not from the Gemara you have to be so careful with. So says Rav Moshe, you can go even earlier than Chatzos. You're right, it's not the Eis Ratzon. It's earlier, it's not the end of the world. The Mishmeres Shalom, in the name quoted by, as I saw again, Rav Moshe Harari in the Sefer that he put out, you know, Mikrei Kodesh, says 2 hours beforehand, some poskim say, if it's Chatzos in Yerushalayim, then it's even good enough, in which case, if you're in England, it's a little bit later. If you're an American, it's significantly earlier, maybe like, you know, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of shuls have minhagim of doing eslichos at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And these cause controversy amongst different rabbanim and shuls. Everyone likes to insult each other, who does earlier, who does later. That's really not a good thing to do. I'm sorry? I assume so. I don't know. You know, I'm saying you can do it before Mincha the next day.
In Australia.
Yeah. In any event, if one is afraid they're going to fall asleep during Shachris the next morning, or if they're going to end up skipping Pesukei Dezimra because they walk in late, or if they're going to walk out and even miss Karbanos, bet you shouldn't say Slichos, bet you should say Karbanos, Pesukei Dezimra, daven properly with more Kavana, etc., etc. That doesn't tell you not to say Slichos. I mean, it might, theoretically, but probably does tell you should daven Pesukim Zimmer properly and say Karbanos properly, etc., etc. What about parts of Slichos that are controversial? For example, the Machnisei Rachamim. There's a discussion out there about saying Machnisei Rachamim. What's the controversy? So what Machnisei Rachamim is, it's basically a prayer to the Machnisei Rachamim to Hechnisu Rachamenu, Hechnisu Tefilasenu, Hechnisu Dimasenu, to take our tears, our prayers, etc., etc., to God. Lifnei Mela, Lifnei. I stopped saying it years ago. I just know from the song. In any event, we're asking, I guess, assistance of God to bring our prayers to them. Because we're making a request of them, it's like a borderline situation. The Rambam believes you should never ask angels for anything. You should never pray to angels. That itself is a little bit controversy. And some Rishonim actually did. But we certainly seem to follow that approach, that we don't ask the angels for anything, and therefore maybe even asking them to bring our tefillahs to God falls under the asking them for things. It's not a direct request, but it is something somewhat borderline. And therefore, lahalacha, many shuls say it, many people's shuls don't say it. Rabbi Tarrigan is a big believer in Minhag Yisrael, the minhag to do it. He feels very strongly one should do it. To me, with all due respect to Vaitarigan, I have an incredible amount of respect to Vaitarigan. It seems like the potential upside of saying Machnis Erachimim is very small, and the potential downside is unbelievably large. So I have stopped saying Machnis Erachimim. If they sing it in shul, sometimes I kind of sing along also, you know, without the words. Sometimes I really get into it, I sing along even with the words, but I try my best to have kavanah not to mean it. You know, it's like, imagine if they would sing like, if they would sing Chris McCowell's in shul, just like make me feel so unbelievably emotionally connected. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's not the same thing. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. That's what I do. But I try my best not to do it if I can. There's a minhag to to blow the shofar every single morning at the end of davening, which you're fully aware of it. We say L'David twice a day, either after Shachar, and at the end, either Mincha or Marv, standard Nusach Ashkenaz. We do it after Marv, Nusach Sfard. They do it after Mincha. What should you do if you find yourself at a yeshiva like ours, but doing it Mincha, or let's say you're finding yourself in all sorts of situations? It's interestingly, if Moshe has a truth, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're doing something different from the tzibur, the tzibur is all no hate to do X and you're doing Y. The tzibur is davening Nusach Ashkenaz, you're davening Nusach Sfard. The tzibur does one thing and you're doing something different. So the general rule says in Moshe, if it's a public thing, you're doing something publicly, loud, you're calling out, you know, Keser Yitnu Lecha, and you want to say, you know, you're calling out Keser Yitnu Lecha, and the rabbi is saying, you know, Naritzcha v'Nagdishcha, or vice versa. So if Moshe's tshuva is do what they're doing out loud, and what you want to do your own private thing, you do your own private thing. In other words, not want to. You should daven your own nosach privately, but publicly, out loud, it should all be the same. Maybe what would make that claim over here, so I went to ask Rav Neventhal, the shayla, he's like, you don't lose anything by saying Tehillim twice. It's a very nice thing. So that's what I would probably tell you to do. If you're davening Ashkenaz, you should say it at Mariv, and if you're davening Nusach Sfarim at Mincha, so it's an extra parak of Tehillim, you don't lose anything. If you end up davening here and there, and you end up cutting and pasting twice, I probably should do it by Mariv again. Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag to fast, for that matter, all Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Most of us are not knowing that way today. The time periods where Tainus was part of Avodas Hashem has kind of passed us by. A couple of real tzaddikim are into fasting these days. We don't really do that. We don't say Tachlin on Erev Rosh Hashanah, neither by Shachris, nor by Mincha, with the exception of in Slichos. There's no shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'm sure you're aware, either La'arbi Vet HaSatan, or perhaps to distinguish between the mitzvah and the minhag. I guess I might have to be practicing in a closed room. There's a minute to get a haircut on Erev Rosh Hashanah, a minute to shower Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's a minute to go to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Mahari is quoted by the Ber Hetiv to say he would go into the mikvah three times for Erev Rosh Hashanah, through Erev Yom Kippur. When do we go? We go Erev Rosh Hashanah. If you look at the Ramah, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and most of the posts, just go Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Berurah says it shouldn't be before Chatzos. I'm not sure if we practice that. I think we don't follow that Mishnah Berurah. There's a minute to go to the Beis HaKfaras, to daven in the cemetery. There's a minute to give extra tzedakah. There's a minute to look in the machzor to prepare yourselves for the tefillas. And there's a minhag for Hataras Nedarim. Let's talk about Hataras Nedarim for a moment. Ashkenazim should do Hataras Nedarim in front of three people. They do not have to be big Talmidei Chacham. They don't have to be big world-class Dayanim. They simply have to be people who understand what you are saying. Are fully matured men needed? You know, in general, when you come by mitzvah, it requires two things, shanim and simanim. So in general, when it comes to mitzvahs daraisa, you have to have both. When it comes to mitzvahs darabanan, we rely on the chazakah, suffik, we can allow us to rely upon it. So let's say kid on his bar mitzvah day, he's 13 years old, wants to be part of a minyan, totally fine. If a kid who's 13 years old and his bar mitzvah day wants to read, the Megillah, probably could be Mikkel there also. If you want to have him lane from the Torah on Shabbos morning, fine. But if it's Parsha Zachar, if it's Kiddush, perhaps Friday night, you may have a serious problem because you want to make sure he has to see on him and as well as just shot him. So we usually wait till it's like a beard on his face, then we can assume he's properly developed. Is that needed for this Hataras Nedarim? So Rabbi Kiva Eger has a tshuva in Rabbi Kiva Eger's tshuva is an ayin gimel where he says yes, and the tshuva is fine hagos. Rabbi Moshe Sternbach says no. It seems to be that's a standard practice. However, there are those who are machmer. One year I was at the Ramban shul. I said, could you sit down and be one of my dayanim? He's like, I don't have a beard. I'm like, I don't care. He's like, sorry, my friend, I can't do that for you. So at the time, I didn't know the sugya. Just like, you know, obnoxious, beardless kid, you know. But turns out he was choshesh for Rabbi Kiva Eger. I just didn't know what I was supposed to know earlier on. Okay. Nonetheless, Sfardim have the prize. Let me just get out one more thing about it. Let me finish up the Hataras Nedarim. We'll take a quick round of questions, and then we'll move on because I got plenty more to say here. There's a chumrah, I should say Sfardim, try their best to do it in front of 10 dayanim. Why? Because for a neder chalom, which requires 10, but if not, you only do 3, and that's good enough. Can you rely upon Hataras Nedarim if you know you have a particular neder that you want to stop, like you've always been standing for Chazar Sashat, and next year you want to sit down and take a break. Or for that matter, you've always been standing with your feet together, like Rabbi Soloveitchik's Chumrah, you know that there's a Tefillah Hatzib or Tefillah Bitzib or whatever the Vart is. So you want to stop, you want to walk around during Chazar Sashat, whatever the Chumrah thing you want to stop. So there's a Machlokas Rishonim, if a Sataris Nedarim really works or not. And therefore, this Machlokas post meta handler. Mordechai Elio writes, because there's a Machlokas Rishonim regarding Hataras Nedarim, and as well as a Kabbalah for the future, it could be you've really matched all your nedars in the past, as well as prevented all of them from coming in the future. Why we do it every year is a good kasha. But once you've done it once, theoretically, you know, you really should be okay. So the answer is, L'chadchila, we should do a separate Hataras Nedarim because of the Machlokas Rishonim. We try not to rely upon this Hataras Nedarim unless it's Mamash B'Shas HaTchak, or we have other Snifim to be Mekel. If you can combine this with a few other things, then we're Mekel with it. And therefore, we do Hataras Nedarim. Anyway, probably more of a Minhag than Mekel Adin. And therefore, if you have specific Nedarim that you want to get rid of, you're more than welcome to get rid of them. Rabbi Soloveitchik is known year after year after year to set up three Dayanim and say, I'm afraid I've been standing for Rabbi Soloveitchik used to stand all day Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He would stand for Shmoneh Esrei. He would stand for Chazar Sashatz. He would stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Then he would stand for Musaf. Then he would stand for Chazar Sashatz Musaf. It was like, really, if you think about it, if you daven the way that we do in the yeshiva, that's like 8 hours of davening right off the bat just for Shachar and Musaf. So every single year he would make a neder. If I get really tired, so he does it three times. So it's a Chazakah. So every year he would do an Ataris Nedarim. You know, if I get really tired, I want to sit down, I shouldn't have to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. He was machmer for these things. Kriyas HaTorah, he had a famous chumrah. He thought that Kriyas HaTorah wasn't just a tefillah, a Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, but like a re-experiencing the Mamad Har Sinai. What's the word? Another word. What?
Reenacting?
Good enough. There's another
reliving.
Yeah, I had another word in mind, better word, but reliving, reenacting, re-experiencing, whatever it is, the Mamad Har Sinai. And therefore he stood for that. He would also stand for Chazar Sashat with his feet together because he thought it was Tfilas Hatzibur, not just the Chazan Shemashim, but all of us doing it. In any event, he would do such a thing. What about women? Women have to do Ataras Nedarim, so there are some who suggest they should appoint their husbands to do so. I think the Mata, the Piskei Truvas quotes Ravaji maybe to do something like that, to Mata Nedarim for them. Some say women rely upon Kol Nidre because Kol Nidre really does the same thing. Rabbi Yisraeli used to say women don't have to. They can rely upon their husbands in situations that some of their husband had in mind for them or whatnot. Last point or two about Taras and Dumb, take around the question about all this stuff. They'll move into Davening Rosh Hashanah itself. Can you be Matur Neder in front of a large group? Like, say, five people stand and read in front of three, and then three people stand up and read in front of the last three or something like that. Should you do it by yourself, or should you do it each one as a group? Anyone do it by themselves in their shul, they do it like one at a time. Each person reads in front of a group of three, and then they go one at a time, raise your hand out of curiosity. Who does it one at a time? I grew up that way also. Who does it like big groups and big groups? So the Piskei Teshuva quotes poskim that l'chadchila really, really you should do each one by yourself in front of three dayanim. But if there's a real press, stress for time, etc., then you get allowed to do it in big groups. I think most people today, most shuls do it in big groups. I grew up doing it by myself. I try my best to do it by myself if I can. If I do my triach, three people, my chumash should take precedence over my sensitivity and respect for them, so I try my best not to nudge them, but if I can get a group of four, we kind of go one at a time, that's certainly better l'chadchila, not at the end of the world. And the chayyad, as well as Kav Chaim, suggests you should already start asking mechila from each other, if you've sinned, from family members, etc., don't wait till Yom Kippur, you can even start now, and needless to say, it's a wonderful, wonderful etzah to not just ask for mechila, but muster up the emotional, whatever is necessary to start being mochel people as well. Let's take around the questions, and then we will head weiter. One, two, three. One.
Can you have your relative or father send
on the visit? I have to refresh my memory about that. I remember looking it up once. Maybe it's machlokas poskim lechadchila best not, but not. Let me double check. But maybe afterwards I'll try to get. Yeah, what's up? Same question, yeah.
You touched on it, but Kol Nidre
verse. Same, the post can be split by both. In other words, Kol Nidre, you know, like I guess him being a shliach for us or whatnot. You know, again, post can say it works for women. The minute gets to do both, yeah.
You said with slichas that if the chazan gets ahead, you just skip ahead to catch up. Is that even if you're in the middle of a pasuk in the previous?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't call him psuk in the middle of a sentence, yeah. Davening on Rosh Hashanah, there's a minhag to be a little bit bent over, not for the brachas, you should be stand up. Once you daven a little bit louder than usual, Shulchan Aruch is a minhag that you should like hear. Usually supposed to daven loud enough that you hear yourself, but not distract others. Certainly you should still not distract others, but maybe daven just a little bit louder. There's a machlokas, the Arizal and the Gra, whether it's appropriate to daven with tears and by crying. The Arizal felt yes, the Gra felt no. Additional parts of Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yimei Tshuva. There are different conclusions to the brachas. For example, Hakel, Hakadosh, or Brachat Hashem, Hamelech, Hamishpat, etc., as well as the other additions. If you miss Hakel, Hakadosh, the halach is you have to start again from the beginning of Shemona Esrei, the Mishnah Berurah explains, because all three brachas are a unit, you have no choice but to start out from the beginning. If you left out, let's just say the entire V'chein, Tein, Pachtecha, etc., but you do say Brachat Hashem, Hamelech, Hamelech, Hakadosh, that's good enough. The Hamelech Hamelech Kadosh is what's Ma'akev, all that other stuff, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, etc., that's certainly important. If you forget that, it's not Ma'akev. If you don't know whether you said Hamelech Kadosh or not, let's say it's the Aseret Yimei Tshuva, we assume you did not because you're ragil to not doing so, and you have to start again from the beginning. Let's say if you said V'chein Tein Pachtecha, etc., you go through all those two or three paragraphs, and then you don't remember if you said Hakel HaKadosh or Hamelech Kadosh. So maybe you'll say, since I'm Yeruggel to the whole long thing, maybe not. So it's an unclear. The Mishnah Berurah himself leaves it as a suffix. And therefore, post can say it's a suffix derabanan, and don't go back, it's good enough. The Beis Halevi and others even say that Mistam, you did it the right way, in which case you don't have to go back anyway. In the Halach L'maisa, if you said V'chein Tein Pachtecha, etc., but you don't know if you said Hakel HaKadosh, or Melech HaKadosh, you don't have to go back. Otherwise, if it's a suffix, again, there are says Tshuva, you definitely have to go back, because we assume you made the wrong conclusion. You can correct yourself, Toch Kedei Dibor, of Hakel HaKadosh. How long is Toch Kedei Dibor? The time it takes you to say three words, or Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, or Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Umori. Maybe four words. It's actually steers in the Mishnah Berurah. Here he says three words, so I assume that's what the case is over here. However, if you've already started the next bracha, then you have to go back to the beginning as well. What about Hamelech Hamishpat? So the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as you didn't take your three steps back, you can still go back to it. Once it's your three steps back, it's too late. And the Rama says, we never repeat it anyway, because even if you missed out, you don't have to go back, because Baruchat Hashem, Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpot. It's not Tzim's HaMelech Mishpot, but it does have the word Melech, which is good enough. Zachreinu, Michamocha, Uchsov L'chaim, B'sefer Chaim, all those, if you leave them out, you don't have to go back and fill it in. There's a minhag to daven early. This way you don't avoid a conflict of being, what should you daven first, Mincha or Musaf? We try best to daven early, not to get into that conflict where you find yourself chayiv in both tefillahs. Obviously, we don't say Hallel, for if the Book of Life, Sefer Chaim, Sefer Mavis is open, Lafanov, you're going to Atem Shem Shira, of course not. We say Avinu Malkeinu Leset Shabbos. A couple other tefillah issues. In terms of bowing down on the floor, it comes up more in Yom Kippur than Rosh Hashanah, but there's a minute to bow down on the floor. On the other hand, there's Nisr Daraisa of prostrating yourself on a stone floor. It's based upon a pasuk in Vayikra, Chaf Vav Aleph, Ve'evin, pasuk Ve'evin Maskis, etc. So, midaraisa, the only way you violate the Yisra Torah is if, A, you're entirely prostrated, which means pishut yadayim raglayim, your hands are straight up, lying down, mamish, like you're diving into a pool, just on the floor, and you and your legs spread out, and you are on a stone floor. Not a brick floor, but a stone floor. If you violate either one of those two, it's an issa midrabanan, and therefore, the minhag has become, even on carpets and whatnot, we put a little a towel or paper towels or some type of cloth, a talus bag, whatever you have, you put it on the floor. This way, when you bend over, you should not have your what's it called? Your bending towards it. Most people put it between their knees and the floor. That's probably the appropriate place to do it. If you want to put it to your head also, I don't think it's necessary. The real thing is to put the thing between your knees and the floor. There's a halacha that you're supposed to make kiddush every single Shabbos. And how are we doing here? We're good? I'm trying my best to move. What? What'd you say? Rav Dovi style. Okay? I'll take that as a compliment. There's a halacha that you're supposed to make kiddush before chatzos. It's true about Shabbos, it's true about Yom Tov, it's true about Rosh Hashanah as well. But Rosh Hashanah gets a little tricky. Why? Because in general, you're supposed to make kiddush before chatzos. Additionally, you should make kiddush before you hear the bracha on shofar. Why? Because you don't want to make kiddush after the bracha on shofar, before the shofar blowing is done, because the bracha actually goes on all 100 shofar blows. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Thirdly, you want to try to finish Musaf before Mincha Gedolah, which is halachically speaking 12:30. And fourthly, it's usher to have a meal before hearing the shofar. What's considered the meal? A kibetzah's worth of mizonos or hamotzi. So what do you do? So some say you should eat before shachar. Say after all, the halacha is just not allowed to eat before shachar. But if you're going to mamish be sick, then you're allowed to eat. What's considered sick? Hungry enough that it impacts your davening. That's certainly the case on Rosh Hashanah. So many say you should have a little bit of food beforehand. The other suggestion, that's what we do in our yeshiva, is after shachris, before musaf, you have a kiddush. But it gets a little tricky because you have to, in order, you don't want to have a kibetza of mizonos, but you do want to have a kezayis of mizonos, otherwise you're not yotze kiddush. Because ain't kiddush makom suda. Ain't kiddush elav makom suda. You need required. So therefore you should have enough mizonos that you cover a kibetza, but not so much that you hit a kezayis, but not so much that you hit a kibetza. That is our practice. You can do a little bit earlier on as well. Let's get one more round of things out, and then we'll take another round of questions, and we'll go weiter again. The first night, there's a minog to have also yihiratzon, apple and honey, carrots and leeks and beets and dates and gourd and pomegranate and the head of a sheep, a fish's head, etc., etc. The second night, there is a suffix as to whether or not you should say shachianu, because usually you say Shachiyon, a new holiday. But Hashanah may be a Yom HaRechta, maybe like one long 48-hour day. In which case, you would not make a Shachiyon. So the minhag is to avoid finding yourself in that suffix. What do? A new fruit or a new baguette. The guy who makes Kiddush should have a new fruit that he should have right after Kiddush or whatnot. If you're stuck and you have nothing else, the minhag is, lahalacha, you do make a new Shachiyonu anyway. Because we have to wait Paschim Mikra, I did. There's a minhag not to eat nuts, whether because it has a gematria of chait or because it makes one's saliva dry up. And lastly, to talk about tashlich, I'll take a break before the mitzvah of shofar, tashlich. Why do we do tashlich? So the Maharil, quoted by the Mishnah Brura, says that Avram, on the way to the Akedah, was walking up and the water got up to his neck and therefore it was very difficult. And we try to do zecher l'Akedah. It's better to do tashlich with fish in the water. The reason is to show that ayin hara shouldn't rule all over us, and fish got the bracha of peruvu, we should be zochet to children. However, because it's usher midrabbanan to throw bread into the water when fish will eat it, it's usher to feed fish, you should be very careful, because the minhag Yisrael is to violate this isher midrabbanan, in which case it's not a good minhag, because it's a violation of the isher midrabbanan. You should not be throwing bread into the water. What? If you do it at Sarasim Yitzhuv, it's fine. You're only not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos or Yantif. What the reason is, either because it's an extra tircha, not your tzorech, if it's not your animal, perhaps Shem, you're going to come to do tzeda. There's a machlok as to why you can't do it, but you're not allowed to feed other people's animals, stray animals, on Shabbos or Yantif, so that you should not be doing that as well. The Dominicans do it the first after lesson Shabbos, and do the second day. Really, you can do all aspects of Mechuv, and even till Hoshana Rabbah. Let's take a quick round of questions, then otherwise we'll talk briefly about shofar, other minhagim, and whether you can take a shower on a three-day yontif. One, two, one.
Is it better to do tashlich as soon as you can, or can you do it whenever you feel like it?
I think the minhag can do it the first day, but there's not much that takes to push it off to if it's difficult to do. So, yeah.
If you only have one new fruit, would you say it's better to eat on the second night?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, second night to solve the shachar. The new fruit's not the first night. The reason why people get confused is because we don't have pomegranates all year long. We only have it on Rosh Hashanah night. So the second night is... Yeah, I'm glad you enjoy it. But the new fruit or the new clothing or the new thing that makes a shechianu is on the second night to clarify that unclarity. The first night is different things. Hiratzons and simanim, carrots. We have them all the time. Yeah, Jacob.
Why can't you have kibitz before shofar?
In general, there's an isra of eating like a suda, like a, before you do a mitzvah. The truth is the Tosefta, which is where the source comes from, talks about before lifting up a lulav. But the Mishnah Brura, the poskim, and the Magen Avraham even, you find poskim who already, it's not even found in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Mishnah Brura and the poskim after, and poskim before and afterwards all point out that it's true, you're not allowed to eat a meal before Maariv, you're not allowed to eat a meal before Mincha, you know, you're not, unless you have a phone reminding you, who knows what, we try our best not to disrespect mitzvahs by having a meal first, and therefore, just like by Lulav and just by so too by Shofar, we don't do this as well. Okay, the long stretch. How are we doing? Good? Nice. Shofar, we make a bracha of lishma kol shofar as well as a shachianu, and the bracha is on all 100 blows of the shofar, both before musaf, tekiya demiyushav, during musaf, tekiya demu'umad, and afterwards as well. Don't be mafsik the entire time. Any talking not about tefillah or not about shofar is a hefsik. If you're speaking about shofar, or you're speaking about tefillah, it's not a hefsik, it's mutter. If you did speak, do not make a new bracha. And post can point out, don't even say baruch uvrach shmo during the bracha. Just sit there quietly. How do you get to 100 sounds of the shofar? So the truth, the Torah says, blow shofar. How do you get from 1 to 100? So the truth is, it's really, we paskin, it's tekiya, trua, tekiya, which really should give you 3 shofar blows. To do each one 3 times. That gets you to
9.
Problem is, when we say tekiya, trua, tekiya, we don't really know what trua is. There are 3 possibilities what it is. One is what we call, one is do. One is do, and one is do. And therefore, we combine them all together. We call tekiya, trua, tekiya, tekiya, shvarim, tekiya, tekiya, shvarim, trua, tekiya. And we do each of those 3 times to cover ourselves. That puts us at
30.
You're right, but really it's, we count the shvarim and the trua, both as 2, and gets us to 30. We do that actually twice. Once, right away, after the Ashkenazim, at least, after the bracha, after Kriyas Torah, before Musaf, why not, after the Kiddush, whatever it is, and then we do it a second time during the, before that, during the Chazar Sashas. We have Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros. There are those who I think make a deal, in a Rashi, that maybe the Tekiah by Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros is actually a Din Daraisa somehow. In which case, Shofar is definitely Daraisa, but maybe a Daraisa of doing it with that. So some people have Kavana during the first things, Ashbiyoti, Midrabanan, the second one, you know, the 30, the higher number, 60, Midrabanan, and my Daraisa should be only during Chazar Sashas. This way to link the Malchios, the Chronos, and Shofros. If you want to do that, that's fine. If you just want to have Kavana that you should perform the mitzvah as best as possible, that's certainly a safe Kavana to have. Then, because of Sisera's mother who cried 100 times, says the same for Hatoda, we have bumped it up to, she cried 101 times, we bump it up to 100 times out of sympathy for her. In our yeshiva, there's actually an extra blowing even above and beyond that 100. I think we hit about 130, if I'm not mistaken. The reason why is because, according to Rashi, the Tekiya Shvarim Trua Tekiya sounds like this. Tekiya, do, then you have Shvarim Trua, do. But not do. You follow that? It's like a long 3 then a short 3. So because that Shita, Rav Yaakov Katz, when he was at Rosh HaKolo, used to be Machmer for that, we do that as well. I should point out, you should know good what the Malchus, of course, and Shofars are. You should have Kavana, both for the Baal Tokea, as well as the Shomea, and that takes us through there. There's a minhag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah quotes this din, to Yerushalmi, that sleeping on Rosh Hashanah is nothing to do about having a sleep a year. That's like Baba Mai says, the real reason, because Yerushalmi says one shouldn't have be sleeping on such a serious day. Some people have the minhag to daven vasik. In this way, the second day starts, you're already awake. The second it starts, you're already awake in mitzvahs. You don't even want to sleep in Sephardim an hour, yeshiva, no ache to do that. Ashkenazim kind of roll out of bed like a bunch of lazy bums at 6:10 or so to daven 6:20 shachris. The Arizal writes, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes, La halacha, sleeping after chatzos is okay. And I should point out that it's not a din specifically in sleeping, but again, in wasting your time. If you're doing nothing constructively all day long, that's equal, you may as well be sleeping, especially if you're going to learn later better in the week, or who knows what, but you should be up doing things. The Brisker Rav used to follow famous minhag to say tilim all day long. The Brisker Rav, I think, helped make the minhag famous, that you should be always taking mitzvahs all day long, and not even have 1 second of even walking to get to Svarim. You know, I don't know. It's not really Bittul Torah, but that's what the Brisker Rav, that's the minhag. Many people have the minhag. They tell them all day long. In our yeshiva, we have shiurim. I think Rav Meir Goldbach gives a shiur in the break. Maybe it's on Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah. It's on Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's other things going on in Rosh Hashanah. There's wonderful meals and wonderful opportunities to do good things. Questions? Otherwise, we'll talk about showering on 3-day Yantav and Yantav in general. Yeah?
The shvar was like 5 sounds. Isn't there a minute for that too?
I don't know. Yeah.
Does that
I imagine not, but you probably should learn quietly and not talk. Like, don't talk out loud. You shouldn't say, oh, Tosis holds this and Rashi holds that. Just think what Tosis holds and Rashi holds. Okay,
For sure it's that Rashi holds that Tosos is Shvarim is actually a Tkia. It's like, it's not that he holds that you need less Trua. It's that your Shvarim need to be shorter.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it. Okay. Anyone who got that, great. If you're part of the group who didn't, you'll tell me afterwards. I'm going to try to get through this thing before I get into the sheet that's every Shvarim. Yeah?
From a derisive standpoint, how many calls do you have to hear?
Probably 30. Okay, the Mishnah Maseches Beitza has a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about a principle called Mitoch. Beis Hillel basically holds of Mitoch Shehutru Letzorach, Hutru Nami Shelo Letzorach. One something is mutter for one reason, you could use it for another reason. So therefore, if you're allowed to, to warm up water. Here's the case on Chafal. If you're allowed to warm up water because you want to cook with it or you want to drink hot water for that matter. So it's just like you can warm up water on Yantiv, Letzorech, Ochel Nefesh, so you could warm it up, let's say, to wash your legs or to wash your arms or whatnot. Okay, great. But interestingly, the Mishnah only says you could wash your legs. It doesn't mention your whole body. Why not mention your whole body? So the assumption is you cannot wash your whole body. And the question becomes, why not? It's Machlokas Tosis in the Rambam. Tosis writes the reason why is because legs are a Dover Hashava L'chol Nefesh. Everyone, when they get dirty legs, wants to wash their legs. Everyone wants to wash their arms. You got to do that every single day. You got to wash your hands every day. But who takes a shower, takes a bath every day? You have to realize things were different those days. We'll get to the difference very soon when we talk about Halacha L'maaseh. The second reason why, perhaps, it'd be usher to jump in the entire bath, that was what's called Gzeiras Merchatz, or maybe Gzeiras Habatim sometimes. In other words, it used to be in the times of the Mishnais, if you wanted to take a bath, you walk into the bathhouse. The bathhouse guy would warm up the water, and you'd go take a nice hot bath. What about Shabbos? So these guys were not that firm. They were Mechalei Shabbos left and right. So they said, don't go into the bathhouse on Shabbos. Turns out, the bathhouse people said, no problem. You know, it's fine. We'll warm up the water Erev Shabbos. And this way you'll be able to have a hot bath on Shabbos, and the warmer water will be warm in advance. Great, great solution. Until they started warming it up on Shabbos. They forgot. It was lazy. They weren't as firm as they should have been. And therefore, there's a gzera not to sit in hot water on Shabbos, even if it was warmed up Erev Shabbos. What could the problem be? Nothing midaraisa, only midraban. Clear? Good. What about yontif? So the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin that one is allowed to wash one body part at a time on yontif. You can warm up water, wash an arm, a leg, a face, etc., etc. But you should not jump into the preheated bath. You should not jump into the bathtub because this gzeiras merchatz, which applies just like it applies on Shabbos, so too the gzeira applies on yontif. And therefore, l'chora shower would be usher. Are there any heterim? So the Shulchan Aruch himself says, yeah. For starters, it's worthwhile to know the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam. But there is a potential heter out there. What's the potential heter out there? The heter would be, says the Shulchan Aruch, if the water was heated up erev yontif, and it was not in a bathhouse, ad kedei kach chazal would not go there. And therefore, if you'd have, let's say, a hot bath, you warm up erev yontif, you want to jump in it on yontif itself. Or water that was warmed up in the pipes. However, you have to work out how, I don't know enough about water heating systems, but if let's say that there's heat, the yeshiva has a big, huge thing of warm water, hot water, that you just let out of your faucet on yontiv. So that, if it was warmed up erev yontiv, would be fine if you were in your house, opposed to a bathhouse. That's the Shulchan Aruch. I think that'd probably be great for Sfardim. The Ramah says, no, it doesn't make a difference if you're in your house or not. And therefore, according to the Ramah, l'chora, one would have to be more machmer and not take a shower on yontif. Are there any heterim? So again, if you're following the Shulchan Aruch and you're outside of the bathhouse and you're using preheated water, that's great. The Mishnah Berurah says, even though the Ramah is more machmer and it doesn't even allow you to take a full bath in your house, you can wash one body part at a time. So first you wash your arm, then you wash even the whole face. You can wash your face, then your other arm, then you wash your chest, then you wash your back. You can do one body part at a time according to the Mishnah Berurah with preheated water. Again, it's not very comfortable. I wonder if it's more comfortable not to shower. I guess you have to ask. We'll take a vote or a survey, something like that afterwards. Are there any other heterim along the way? So the truth is, the Shmir Shabbos Gil Chasa says one can use water heated up on Yontif itself if you want to wash your hands and legs, which again, warm it up. That shouldn't be surprising. That's like base. That's like Beis Hillel. Warm, wash it up, wash your arms, wash your legs, wash one body, not all your body parts, but arms and legs, which is a Dav Rashav L'chol Nefesh, or whatever it is, or not the Shemir Shabbos Kochasa, right, so you can wash up one body part at a time, which is probably, along the lines of the way the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like the Rambam, that it is a problem of Gzeiras Merachatz, but that's only jumping in the whole pool to wash your body one ligament at a time, one body part at a time, would be totally mutter. That is probably the most classic standard heter out there. You may have heard, and a lot of posting pasta in this lahalacha, that you can only wash one body part at a time. Could you take it one step further? So there may be another heter out there, which is probably what we accept much more in our community. For example, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if a woman has to go to a mikveh on Shabbos, she's allowed to go in, it's freezing cold water, so she can have warm water, but not hot water. Obviously, if it's a Yad Tzal lettuce boat, no one's going to feel comfortable jumping into a bath at that heat. That's the definition of Yad Tzal lettuce boat. You would jump right out. But if, let's say, that hot water, it would be usser. But if it's, let's say, like warm water, you're not sitting in for the heat of the water. You're sitting in it because it's just not cold. Lukewarm water. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, a woman can go in that. And the reason why, again, is because there was no gzera made on that. If that's true, so Poskim suggests, many Poskim quote Rabbi Soloveitchik. I heard it a lot of times, Rabbi Adler's name from TABC and from Rinat. I looked up online and people quoted Rav Shechter's name. I think Rabbi Jachter quoted Rav Shechter, Rav Hershel Shechter, to say either the name of the Rav or his own name, that if you can solve both the Tosfos and the Rambam problem, then what's the problem with washing your whole body at one time? Again, heating up the water is not a problem because mitoch. The only problem was the whole body. So according to Tosfos, it was a problem because it was a davar, a body was not a davar hashav l'chol nefesh. Everyone believes today showering daily, or at least every other day, is a davar hashav l'chol nefesh. To go in a hot summer Israeli day, or even a hot American day, or even anywhere, 3 days, Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos without a shower, that would be davar hashav l'chol nefesh. You could certainly make the claim today, that is our practice. But what about the Rambam's concern of gzeiras merchatz? So if you take a warm bath, but not, or a warm shower, but not a hot shower, poskim are makel with that as well, and therefore, certainly if there's a tzorech, you can rely upon this Aruch HaShulchan and rely upon this heter of Rabbi Adler quoting Rabbi Soloveitchik, and therefore I would tell you, probably most of the poskim would say you can wash one body part at a time, based upon the more strict version of the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, i.e. not the Aruch HaShulchan, and this other way to go is, since Tosfos allows for it anyway, plus, you have the Aruch HaShulchan, even if the Rambam's right, and it's mamish, it's bothering you, it's all yantiv, you're uncomfortable, you feel gross, it's not a covetic way of owning yantiv. So therefore, certainly, there's what to rely upon when there's a big tzorech. Certainly, if it's a one-day yantiv in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to do it, because it's not such a big deal. If it's a two-day yantiv in Eretz Yisrael, you find all sorts. If it's a three-day yantiv, so many people space it out just properly and shower on the second day. Again, there's certainly what to rely upon. Those were machmer, totally understandable. That's what the Shabbos Pilchasa writes, and it's not shocking. Many poskim say one body part at a time, an arm, a leg, et cetera, a face, but not the whole thing together. I should make sure to point out, if a person does take a shower on Yontif, or for that matter, if you take a cold shower on Shabbos, you wouldn't have the problem of the gzeras, merchatz, or whatnot the Rambam talks about. There are three other things to be mindful of. Number one is a soap. Can you use a bar of soap? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, and the most people can believe that a bar of soap is totally usser. You know, you're not allowed to do that. You have to use some type of like liquid soap. You have to use some type of liquid soap instead. What type of liquid soap can you use? So Rav Moshe said, most people make with any liquid soap. Rav Moshe thought even liquid soap was a problem. You have to water down the liquid soap. We don't follow that chumrah of Rav Moshe. Maybe some do. But most people allow for liquid soap. So if you take a shower with some type of body wash or some type of liquid soap, it would be totally fine. But a bar of soap would be a problem. The second concern would be schita. We paskin if there's a problem of schita in your hair. You're not allowed to wring out a towel if it's all wet. You're not allowed to wring out anything, and including wringing out your hair. So if you have a wet head, you specifically would have an incredible problem. You're like number two, maybe. You know, at least on top. You know, if you start wringing out your hair, you start, you know, that's a real problem. So how do you handle wringing out your hair? So Poskim say, don't put a towel on your head, because when you put the towel on your head, that's clearly wringing out the water from your hair. I'm just wringing it out. Other Poskim say, and I haven't seen this, I've heard this quote in the Poskim, I haven't really seen any serious Poskim who say it, but maybe it's true, I don't know. I guess it's certainly better to do it because you don't lose, although it sounds a little silly. There's a concern if you start putting shampoo in your hair on Shabbos, when you start mushing around your hair on Shabbos, what you're causing is a lot of the water to come out. Ah, you don't really intend to do it. It's a davar shein miskavi. And the answer is, it's a psikresha. Hair is, water is going to come out. And therefore, many poskim say, don't use shampoo. And many poskim say, and this sounds a little silly, put the shampoo in while your hair is dry. This way, when you mush it all around, there's no problem of schita. Put your head under the shower and the water comes out. That's totally fine. You're not wringing it out. The water's just taking it out. Certainly, you should use liquid soap, not a bar of soap. You should not dry off seriously hairy body parts with a towel. Perhaps even if you have a very, very wet part, you should pat it, even opposed to, you know, pushing, pressing, like in general. You shouldn't press too much, but there's a chance of schita. I don't know. But, and the shampoo thing, I don't know. Postum starts seeing this more and more. I haven't got a good handle on whether it's accepted, lahalacha, or not. To me, it makes a lot of sense to be machmer for it, because I don't see the heter otherwise, but I haven't looked into it properly. But it makes a lot of sense to put the shampoo in first, because it does seem like it's a psik ratio that you're going to be doing schita with the water in your hair, and we pass in the schita with the water in your hair. Yeah?
Two things. A, regarding schita, I've heard that if you put the shampoo in while your head's under the water, because that'll eliminate the schita problem. Because if the water's still coming down, you're not doing schita. Like if you squeeze a sponge while it's...
Meaning when you... I think the problem is also mushing the shampoo around. It's not just putting it... If you would just take a bottle and put shampoo, like you'd have like a big huge squirt
like
of shampoo on your head, that wouldn't really do you too much. Meaning only like a small little C amount of your hair would get clean. I think the way these things work, I think you have to like mush it all around. I don't know.
I've done that. Like, drip from above.
Drip from above. Okay, I guess it sounds to me like a good solution from a halachic perspective, but it doesn't sound like a good perspective from a hygienic perspective. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's better than putting the shampoo on before the shower. I've never done that either. I guess, yeah.
Is there a feeling between like a bath?
What?
Is there a feeling between like a bath and a shower? A shower, you're never really cleaning your whole body.
No, the answer is it's the same. I can see the distinction. Okay, Rabbi, I will stop here.